It's a pleasure to be back here in Hanley again and to bring the good news, the glad tidings to you. That there is good news to be had, to be found, and of course, the Bible points us in that direction. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Because He is near, and because He is love, and because He is kindness, gentleness, meekness, because He is a Savior. And He is loving you presently and seeking you. Jesus came, don't you know, to seek and to save that which is lost. Might not be seeking Him, but He's seeking you. And He's available for you, made available for you. A gift, a love gift from God. For God so loved this bad world that He gave. Hello, my dear, how you doing? Good, good. So loved the world that He gave, this bad world that He gave. The gift that is, you know, of His only Son. That whoever receives Him, believes in Him, shouldn't perish, die in their sin, that is, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Good news for sinners, those apart from God, strangers to Him, alienated from Him, from the life of God, from the love of God, from the grace of God, from the Son of God. But He, the Son of God, Jesus, well, He's the way back. You know, He's the one made available to you, that through Him that you might be brought back to your Maker. To know Him intimately, that is, in love and grace, free fullness of the free grace of God set before you and offered to you here this afternoon in Hanley Town Center. The free grace of God, the free love of God, the free justification of God to justify you, make you right with Him, bring you into a right standing with Him. Because that's the problem. You know, as we come into the world, natural born sinners, you know, we go astray, the Bible says, God says, we go astray from the womb. You know, we don't need talent to go astray. We don't need instruction in the matter. We don't have to be educated, you know, and going astray. We just quite do it quite naturally, you know, because, well, we are natural born sinners. That's why. So astray from God, away from Him, not loving Him, not walking with Him, not fearing Him, not obeying Him. You know, it's that's our lot. That's our sad, sad, sin-cursed world, of course, in which the trouble just heaps up day by day. And of course, as time goes on, just as the Bible says, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But of course, the good news is, that's what we're here about today, the good news is, of course, that there's a way back. Well, for you personally, you know, that a Savior made available to you, came into the world, took on nature, became one of us, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead. What for? What did He go through all that for? Take away your sin, take away your guilt, take away your shame, your blame, take away all that's yours, all that's bad, that is, and give you that which is good, His righteousness, a right standing before God, freely, freely offered to you in Jesus. You take Him, and He takes yours. He takes your bad, and He gives you His good, His righteousness. And of course, the righteousness in that day when God judges us all, as He must needs do, two things that He can guarantee you. You don't know what tomorrow might bring. You don't know what the future holds for you, but there's two things you can guarantee, absolutely guarantee, set in concrete. Death and judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, then comes the judgment. So you see, two certainties there that I put before you here this afternoon, Hanley Sinners. I put before you another certainty, an absolute concrete certainty. That is, if you believe in Jesus, you take Jesus, you get reconciled to God, you get the promise of God, you get the salvation of God. Simply and only for the taking. Came to his own, the Bible says, his own people, that is. That's why they're in trouble. They didn't receive him, they rejected him. And they're still in trouble, always in trouble. Came to his own people, but they did not receive him, they rejected him. But to as many as did receive him, to those who did believe on his name, trusted in him, he gave them the right, the authority to become that which we are not by nature, children of God, changed, transformed by the grace of God. Offered to you, said before you here this afternoon, and guess what? You don't have to jump through any religious hoops for it. Without money, says God, without price, no conditions, none at all. You just simply and only come to Jesus, trusting him, leaning upon him, looking to him. That doesn't even require any effort on your part, does it? Simply come to him, and he promises. He says, I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls, that is. Rest, you know, lift the burden of guilt and shame and blame from off of you. I set you free from it. He's meek, he's gentle, he's kind, you know. He's not like your religious dudes in this world, you know. Think of all the pomp and ceremony, you know, of Rome, of the Pope, you know. That's not like Jesus. Meek and mild, gentle and kind. Think of the ravaging killing of Muhammad. That's not Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come. Religion, Muhammad's religion, comes to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I did not come to kill and destroy. I came to save men's lives, their very souls even. So would you trust, would you believe in Jesus today? Take him, offer to you, receive him. You become a child of God. You get forgiven. You get all the blessings that God has for a man or woman in this world. You get the peace of God. You get that joy the Bible says is unspeakable. You get eternal, everlasting life. In the face of the certainty of death, you get a pass. You get eternal life. In the face of the inevitability of God's judgment, again you get a pass, a free pass into heaven. No judgment, no condemnation for those who are in, believing in, trusting in Jesus. That's the love of God. That's the great, the immense, astonishing, I say to you, love of God. For God so loved this, the world, not the big, big world, but this bad, bad, evil world. Think of all the evil going on in the world today, even in your own society. And yet, astonishingly, amazingly, God's word still says, he so loved the world, so loved it that he gave his very best, his only son, and gave him how? Gave him up to the death of the cross. Send him to that cross to suffer, to bleed and die, in order that you, believing, trusting, confiding in him, that you might have eternal life, freely set before you, offered to you here this afternoon. So you like to maybe read something about, you know, the gospel message. I've got Bibles, I've got New Testaments, I got this Gospel of John. If you'd like to read God's written work for yourself, check these things out here in John's Gospel. You can read those very words, John 3, chapter 16, verse 16 rather. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Maybe perhaps you have a question pertaining to these matters, then feel free to ask your question. Or if you would perhaps maybe like somebody pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. Only here to help point you in the right direction. The only way to eternal life. The only way into the love of God. The free grace of God. Jesus. You take Him. You love sinners, He loved you and gave Himself for you, that in order this life eternal, the love of God might be yours. So listen up, Hanley, the word of God for you today. It says here in the book of Psalms, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You say, how can that be? That's an impossibility. Mercy and truth are met together, says God. How can that be? Well, it must be. God says so. And He doesn't lie. He doesn't get it wrong. So how can mercy and truth, how can they be met together? I mean, the truth, what is truth? Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who gave Jesus over to be crucified, he asked that question, what is truth? It was standing right in front of them. Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? That which God speaks, and that which God alone speaks. You don't speak the truth. I don't speak the truth. Only God does. Only God does. There are truth apart from God's word. He speaks the truth, and He always speaks the truth. But He speaks the truth in love and kindness. He speaks these things in order that you might be healed, in order that you might be rescued, in order that you might be saved. That's the very reason why we have the Bible. It's God's spoken word put into writing for us to read, to study, meditate upon the truth. And it's the truth and only the truth that will make you free, says Jesus. But what is the truth? What's the truth about God? And what's the truth about you? And me, and I, everybody born into this world. Well, the truth about God is a God of love, certainly. But God is also holy. A very, very holy God. Holy, holy, holy. And there, the Almighty God. So how can truth and mercy, truth of a holy God and unrighteous sinners, How can they possibly meet together? So there's a truth about God. He's holy. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. You can't look upon even your righteousnesses, even your very best efforts, says God. They're like filthy rags in His sight. That's God. The thrice holy, holy, holy God. And then there's the truth, you know, there's the truth. Well, there's holiness, His love, His mercy. God is mercy. Mercy rule. And shows mercy, of course, to those, well, who are penitent, those that is, those who believe, those who trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. But how can mercy and truth possibly be met together when we consider the truth about yourself and myself? Because the truth about us is not what you speak, not what you say about yourself. You know, I'm a good person, I'm okay. I might be a drunkard, I might be a fornicator, I might be an idolater, I might be a liar. Yes, I'm all these things, but I'm a good person. I mean, does that really conflate? Does that really work? You know? I don't think so, somehow. But you know, you say you're a good person, you say you're okay, you say I'm good to go, you know. But the truth of the matter is something else. The truth is what God speaks about you. And what does he speak about you? About his all. He says all sin to come short of his glory. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us who naturally speaking get a pass with God. None of us. Not one of us. All have sinned. Not a man, not a woman that sinneth not. All broken God's commandments. Sinners by nature even conceived in your mother's womb and sin. And then 9 months later born in sin. Live and walk and breathe in sin, talk in sin, and die in sin. But for the free grace of God and the free love of God intervening, saving you, rescuing you. So the truth about you and the truth about God. Well, I mean, it's like oil and water, the two just don't mix, you know, can't. So how can mercy and truth, how can mercy and truth, how can they be met together? And another question, well, where do they meet together? Then he goes on to say further, he says, and peace, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Again, how is that possible? You got a mankind of sinners, lost, ruined, and undone, and heading towards the judgment of God, a holy and righteous God, and somewhere at some point in history the two are going to meet, and that surely that's not going to be a good meeting. That's going to be like a mega train crash. Unless, as God says, that peace, that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. But how possible? Well, because of God's love, because of God's grace, because of his love in giving to a lost world of mankind, a Savior, one to intervene, one to bring peace and righteousness to us. That's the only way. But of course, God has found a way for the impossible, miraculously, supernaturally. God has found a way, God has made a way by which peace and righteousness can kiss each other, by which mercy and truth can meet together. God has made a way, devised a way, a plan, if you like, of redemption, how sinners lost and ruined can be redeemed. Under the curse of God. Righteousness, mercy, peace. We natural born sinners, nothing to do with any of these. You know, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, nothing to do with any of these. Undeserving to a man, to a woman. Of any mercy, any peace, any righteousness, none whatsoever. And here's the worst of it is, you stand before God in that day of judgment in your own righteousness. And this, of course, well, you know, this epitomizes, I dare say, the most of you in Hamley today, because what do you say when you're confronted with the gospel? You say, I'm okay. You say, I'm a good person. That's self-righteousness. And God doesn't like self-righteousness. And then you've got the religious fraternity. They're more self-righteous than any other. And God hates self-righteousness. God has got nothing. Jesus never ever had anything to say to the self-righteous. Other than the harsh words. But to the broken, those who saw themselves as being destitute of any righteousness. Those who saw themselves, you know, as God sees them, you know, undone, ruined, not worthy, you know, wouldn't as much as lift their eyes up to heaven because, well, they know what they are. Sinful, you know. Sins in so many ways against a righteous and holy God and not worthy of the very least of His blessings. Those are the ones Jesus came for. Those are the ones Jesus spoke to. Those are the ones Jesus had words of peace and righteousness for. But is that you today, Hamley Sinners? Is that you? Broken hearted, contrite of spirit, that's the attitude that God doesn't despise. The poor in spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. Poor in spirit, that is. Broken hearted because of sin. Undone, ruined. See themselves as being unworthy of the blessings of God. So how does mercy and truth, how do they meet together? Peace and righteousness, how do they possibly come together, even kiss one another? But the truth about a sinful mankind and a holy God come together, surely that's a train crash, but no. On a hill called Calvary, on a hill far away, where the Son of God came, lived and loved and died, was taken at the hands of cruel, wicked, evil, even religious men, nailed to a cross, crucified, dead and buried on that cross, suffered as no man ever suffered before or ever shall. Suffered at the hands of men, but in the will of God He was performing the ultimate will of God, obedience to His Father, fulfilling salvation, the means by which mercy and truth could kiss together, peace and righteousness could meet together. He suffered, He bled and died on that cross to take away your sin, Hanley. He suffered and bled and died on that cross. He took hell's damnation upon Himself that it might not ever be meted out to you. Suffered and bled and died to take away your condemnation, which you are already under. I'm not here to condemn you. I don't have to. Already condemned. Light has come into the world, but men loved evil rather than darkness. The light comes to you here today. The light of the world, I mean Jesus, calls you his servant, calls you to be reconciled to God, but no, you love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because your deeds are evil.
I am Satan.
Condemned to a man, to a woman. Unrighteous, unholy. Peace, righteousness. You, a sinner. Is that possible? Is that possible? No, Hanley sinners, there's only one way. And Jesus performed it. He said, I am the way. I am the way through my cross, through my suffering, my bleeding, my dying on that cross. See, blood had to be shed. And not just the blood of a man, that's not enough. Had to be divine blood that was shed on that cross. Sacrifice provided by God Himself. God's Lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And would take yours away today and bring righteousness, peace and mercy to you. Should you trust in Him, confide in Him, believe in Him? Should you, that is. So that's how. That's the place on a hill called Calvary. The Son of God died. Take away your sin, Hanley. Take away your guilt, your real, very real guilt. Take away your shame. That shame that will cover you in the day of judgment. Unless somebody else takes it away for you. Take away your shame. Take away your blame. lift the curse and the wrath of God from off of you and set you free on a hill called Calvary. That's where mercy and truth, that's where they met together. That's where righteousness, that's where peace and righteousness, that's where they kissed one another on a cross, on a tree that God Himself created, had planted and grown and hacked down for His Son to be crucified upon, so that you, a highly sinner, in the loving grace of God, could be reconciled to God. Counted with righteousness
in
the sight of God. Given the free grace of God, the free love of God, justified, made right with God. Truth, mercy and truth kissed together on a hill called Calvary, because of the one who died on that hill. Jesus, the Son of God, not the Jesus of Islam, not the Jesus of the Watchtower Society, not the Jesus of Rome's religion, the Jesus of the Bible, the God-man, Son of God, God revealed, manifest in the flesh, took our nature, shed that divine blood. That's what makes it powerful, that's what makes it effective, that's why it's able to wash you, take away your shame and your blame. That's why it's able to deal with your guilt. Yeah. Because it was divine blood that was shed on that cross. Not just the blood of a man, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mighty Son of God, the only God. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, for Him, and through Him. The mighty Creator, hanged on a tree, suffering, bled and died, so that your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame might be lifted from off of you, set free. The truth concerning Jesus Christ and what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ, His Son, what the law, God's commandments could not do, He accomplished in sending His Son to that cross to shed that divine blood, so that it applied to you by faith, received by you in faith, confiding, trusting in what Jesus has done, not what you do, not what you can do, might do, will do. Trusting only in what He has done, what He has accomplished. Trusting in the shed blood of the one who died upon that cross. That truth, and only that truth, will make you free. That truth and that truth alone will bring righteousness to you, a righteousness which will enable you to stand before Almighty God in that day when He judges you. Because here's another aspect of this truth. You stand before Him in that day, trusting in your own righteousness, your own imaginary goodness. You'll be blown away for all eternity. You'll hear these words, "Get out of my sight, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." So, you see, you need a righteousness not of your own. You need an alien righteousness. You need the righteousness of the Son of God. And you only get that when you believe. You only get that when you confide in Him. You only get that when you trust in Him, His person, the God-man. And you trust in what He has done, what He has accomplished, His dying and His rising. In doing so, you get His righteousness, you get His risen life. The risen life of the Son of God. Never to die. I am the resurrection and the life, He says. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. everlasting, eternal life through the Son of God, believing, trusting, confiding in Him. Trusting in Jesus and trusting in only Him. So, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy, of course, is more than just a nice sentiment, that you might express to somebody in trouble. Mercy, the mercy of God, is operative in the message of the gospel, in the sending of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It actually works, it actually does something for sinners who are lost, ruined, and undone. When God puts forth His mercy, it's to rescue them. From the trouble that they're in. So whatever sin trouble you be in today, Hanley, drugs, alcohol, immorality of the various kinds known to you today, caught up and trapped by religion, man's religion, man invented religion, trapped by sin of all sorts, and you try your labor to get out of it. You want to be good, you try to be good, but so help you, you cannot. You hear the preacher calling you to repent, and you say, I've tried to do that, tried to make amends, but cannot. Call upon you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe perhaps someone will see you this afternoon. I've tried that, done that, it doesn't work for me. Because you can't do it yourself. You can't repent of yourself. You can't believe for yourself. It must be given to you of God. So how do you get it? How do you obtain it? Well, you come to Jesus. You come empty-handed, you come with nothing. You come with your brokenness, you come with your sin. You come with whatever traps you. You come to Him because He commands you to bend you to Him. Come unto me, He said. All you that labor and are heavy laden. All you that are working, that is, striving, trying to be good. Self-effort. Come to me, He said. Come unto me and I'll give you rest for your soul. Peace with God. Peace and righteousness, kissing one another. Mercy and truth meeting together on a hill called Calvary. There the Son of God who came and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead so that you might know the love of God, the intimate love of God, that you might experience it, that you might be reconciled to God. Jesus calls you from the storm this very afternoon. Hanley sinners, be ye reconciled to God. I tell you, whatever your needs be, whatever you've come into Hanley Center for this afternoon, you've got a greater need than all of us, no matter how important it is. The need to be reconciled to God. The good news is, there's a way. There's a way because of the mercy of God. There's a way because of the truth of God, because God has revealed the truth about us. God has revealed the truth about Himself. You don't need to. God could have left us all in the dark, sent us all into hell, into a lost eternity. God Son don't need to reveal himself to us. We'd never know what God was like if he hadn't revealed himself to us. But he's given us this revelation of himself, his love, the Bible, the truth as it is in Jesus, revealing to us the reality of God, the mercy, the grace, the righteousness, the kindness of God for a mankind that has rebelled against him, and yet still rebels against him, apart from him, alienated from him and from the life of God. And yet God continues not only to provide you with the necessary revelation of himself, of the truth about himself and all of about you too, or yourself, but my friends, sends his servants to you week after week after week, proclaiming this gospel of his love, his grace, his favor, his kindness, his mercy, his righteousness. Has it declared to you regularly? And yet still you won't be entreated still. It's of no interest, no value to you. What shall it profit a man, says Jesus, if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, says Jesus. Priorities, Hadley sinners. Priorities, get them right. There's an eternity coming. Death is a certainty. Judgment is an inevitability. They're coming, and maybe coming sooner than you think, than you could ever imagine. God says, now is the time. Because now is the only time that you've got. You haven't got tonight, you haven't got tomorrow, you haven't got next week, you haven't got your imaginary old age. Now is the only time you've got, says God. And now is the time to be reconciled to God by the free grace of God and the free love of God offered to you here this afternoon. So how long will it be with you in this world? And were you to gain the whole world, what profit would it be to you? You only be in one place at a time, huh? You're given a 28-room mansion. You only occupy one room at a time. Values that to you, and especially so if you breathe your last and go to this world and lose your soul, your eternal soul. What profit than that, I ask you? Huh? The iPhones and the computers and the houses and the building of them and the getting and the making of money. What profit to lose your soul, your eternal soul? So I think maybe this is what some people don't understand. They think that death brings closure. You know, you can convince yourself that there's no God. Oh, you can do that. But the one thing you can't do, you can't convince yourself that death brings closure. Because you know, you're a morally accountable creature. You're unique to all the creatures that God has indeed created. You're a morally accountable creature. Your dog isn't, your cat isn't, but you are. And you know, you're going to give account one day. You don't know who to or what to or when, but you're going to give account, you know that. See, you have conscience within you. It testifies on behalf of me here today. A conscience tells you when you're doing right, you're doing wrong. Less course that is, you've seared it, you know, cauterized it. So death doesn't bring closure, and you know that. It's appointed for man once to die, after that then comes the judgment. So the house, the phone, all the materials that you could possibly obtain in this world, the mansions, the islands, huh? What profit then? Eternity's coming, and it's coming soon, and coming maybe sooner to some of you than others, but it's coming. Like a train coming down the line, it's coming for you. So having sinners, before that day comes, before that last trumpet shall sound, and all the dead, the Bible says, all the dead shall be raised. You too, if you're dead at that time, whether you're buried in the sea, whether you're buried in the land, whether you're cremated, all the dead shall be raised and given bodies incorruptible. Those who have believed in Jesus to behold his glory and to be like him in glory. For those who have not believed, those who have not received Jesus Christ, those who have rejected the love and the grace of God, for them in that day, they'll be given bodies incorruptible too. Bodies capable of withstanding, enduring the flames and the fires of hell for all eternity. So you see, there's urgency in the matter, Hanley. Great urgency. Here you are today, alienated from God. Alienated from the life of God, no life apart from God, no peace without God, no peace to God, no peace without God, no righteousness, no mercy. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other in Jesus, the Son of God, on that cross where he died, to make peace by his blood. That's the only place of peace, that's the only one who can bring peace to your soul, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace that comes to knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you stand in grace and righteousness before God, and knowing that you're right with God, justified, no longer any condemnation. Taken away. No condemnation for those who are in, believing in, trusting in, confiding in Jesus Christ. No condemnation. Then not even God himself can condemn you, because it's he who would justify you. How? By faith in the Son of God. Through faith. By the grace of God, through faith, believing, trusting in the Son of God. No condemnation, righteousness, mercy, peace, truth. Truth will make you free from all condemnation. So, holy sinners, it's time. It's time, God says, for now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next week. Don't leave it too late. Many, many, I dare say, cry from the very pit of hell, this very moment. Many, many thousands, maybe millions, who heard the gospel, who heard this good news that I declare to you today, but put it off. I kept putting it off, left it too late. Too late, they cry, too late, I left it too late. I heard the good news, but I left it too late. Now is the time, says God, to be reconciled to him. And you may, because there's a Savior, because there's a Mediator available for you. God loves you. Christ is dead for you. You take him, you receive him, and he'll save you. He'll save you from sin and death and hell. That's what he was doing on the cross. That's what he came for, that's what he lived for, that's what he died for, that's what he suffered for. Take away your sin, take away only that which harms you, take away only that which is destroying you, that was just killing you softly, day by day, killing you, killing you, killing you, all the way through killing you. And one day will bring everlasting death to you. But everlasting life is set before you, is offered to you this afternoon in the way of God's love. The immensity and the fullness and the generosity of God's love for you. So loved the world, this evil world, that He gave His only Son, that believing whoever, that's anybody, isn't it? Whoever believes on the Son shall not perish, die in their sin, but have everlasting life. Two ways set before you, life and death. Everlasting death, everlasting life. Unquenchable flames of hell, of the unquenchable love of God. Everlasting love set before you. Yours. Yours for the taking, yours for the receiving. To them that receive Him, He gives the right. He gives the authority to become blood-bought children of God. Trust in Jesus today. Don't delay. If you like a copy of God's Word, read about these things. I have Bibles, I have New Testaments. I got this Gospel of John here. It's offered to you quite freely. There's no cost, no obligation to you, none whatsoever. You'd like a copy of God's written word, check these things out for yourself. See that they are so according to God's word. If you like one, you come and ask for one. If you have a question that you begs in your mind pertaining to these things I'm speaking about, feel free to come and ask it. Or maybe perhaps for some reason, whatever you like, somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that also. But if you like a copy of God's Word, come and ask for one. May God bless you, Hanley. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy, 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 I say, upon your precious, precious, never dying souls. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In Jesus, the suffering, sacrificial Lamb of God on Mount Calvary, the cross, where the Son of God bled and died for a sinner like you, highly sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He's gentle, He's meek, kind, He's lowly. Receive Him and He'll receive you. Receive Him and He will give you His righteousness, His life, eternal, everlasting righteousness and life. Come to Him, trust in Him, confide in Him today. The way, the truth, and the life. May God bless you, Hanley, sinners. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy, I say, upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.